name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
With apologies to the historians in the congregation, on this eve of the commemoration of the Council of Nicaea, an imagined conversation between Athanasius and a friend we'll call Paraphilia. Welcome home, Athanasius. I didn't expect you to be in Nicaea so long. Was it a good trip? Good? Depends on what you call good. Synods are messy things. But at least one good thing has come from it, a new confession. One which we pray breaks the back of the Arian heresy. Yes, I've seen the new creed, and frankly, I'm a little confused. Why do we need it? The Apostolicum has served us well for centuries. Who are we to write a new one? The truth hasn't changed, has it? What's the point of expanding the article on the Son? No, Paraphilios, the truth hasn't changed. But the situation into which we preach truth has changed. We have enemies within and new horizons without. You are fortunate to have in Alexander an Orthodox bishop, so you haven't been exposed to the strife which exists in the church. But Arius and his crowd have twisted what the Apostolicum says, what it says about Jesus Christ. They have denied the one who is the truth, making him less than God, and destroyed the gospel. So we had to expand. We had to be detailed. We had to specifically reject what the Arians teach, especially today. The emperor is Christian, Paraphilios, and the empire will likely follow. The church has a new audience and new temptations. If things continue, huge crowds of pagans will want to enter the church, and we will have to disabuse them of their pagan notions. Remember, Paraphilios, that Socrates and Plato, Aristotle and Seneca preach a very different message than Christ, and they have held the floor for many centuries. It would be, oh, so easy to modify Christ in our preaching just a little to make him more palatable. Our new creed, we pray, will work against this temptation as well. And besides, we aren't throwing out the Apostolicum, and we aren't saying anything new. The faith once handed down through the blessed apostles is timeless and changeless. You are correct to be hesitant to write a new creed. But when we are forced, when we find no other remedy, by God's grace, we will not quail at the task to which we are called. My dear brothers in Christ, today we live in another time of transition. Like Athanasius and Luther, we live in a world that is changing and not apparently for the better. Called to preach in season and out by Paul, I think most of us generally feel quite out of season. Preaching the gospel in a postmodern world may not require new creeds. I, for one, am hesitant like my imaginary friend, Paraphilios. I have quite enough difficulty grasping the three creeds and the seven confessions we have, and I doubt very much that they fail to address the questions of our time. At least they will address the questions of our time if we plumb their depths. By this, of course, I mean if we actually read them and take them seriously and go back to the scriptures to prove again that what they say is in keeping with the truth. This is the task to which we are called. If the Spirit wants us to write a new confession for the 21st century, he will make it painfully obvious. And this pain, dear preachers, will be for your good and for the ultimate good of your flock. God promises. What is truth? Daniel Preuss, in his lovely little book, Why I Am a Lutheran, inserts his exegetical assumption that Pontius Pilate's words were cynical. Reverend Preuss is a fine man and a great preacher and teacher, a man speaking of sin is perhaps worthy of great responsibility. But on this point I must demur. I have a hard time interpreting Pilate when he asked Jesus, what is truth? Was he being cynical or honest? After all, he found no guilt in Jesus. But in the end, it doesn't really matter. Whether Pilate was a heartless cynic or an early postmodern seeker is not important to us. What matters was that the truth was standing right before Pilate. Jesus Christ, bound, beaten, in the midst of the most profound suffering, about to face the final wrath of his own Father for our sake. He is the truth. Preach this truth. Preach this word, in season and out. Find ways to get this truth into people's ears. Go ahead, study the postmodern man, learn the language of your mission field, do all of that preparatory stuff, and study the scriptures like the apostles. You can get your rest in heaven. But in all cases, preach the truth of the crucified one. In the end, that's all that can be done. And it is enough. It is enough for your people to preach the truth, dying on a cross. And while it may take more time and more cultivating of the soil, it is enough for the pagans too. It is enough for you to declare the praises of him who died, to preach the foolishness of atonement and empty tomb. And it is enough for you. The preaching of the truth is for you also. For it is really not so much your preaching to the postmodern man, nor to the lifelong dead Orthodox Lutheran in your pew. You are just the mouthpiece for the truth, the spokesman for the Holy Spirit, the one called to your place to tell of the Father's Son. The true preacher is the only begotten, God of God, light of light, true God from true God, who for us men and for our salvation. Amen.